Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. David Logan along with you, second half kickoff. This is the second half kickoff for the year's second half kickoff.
Wow, look at that.
That's kind of weird.
Holy moly.
July 1. Has 2020 been a weird year? Can you answer that question?
There have been better years. I'll start with there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's been a little odd, but we're going to make it through it together, Dave. Hey, good news. Chipper ate the cheese you gave him.
Both?
Both of them, yes.
He did what we said. I gave him the first little piece, and he just looked at it, and it sat there, and he was like, can you do better than this?
He always wants to. Yeah. He wants to know what kind of upgrades
smart.
Are available.
Yeah. So I gave him another piece that was a tiny bit bigger, and then he ate that one, and then I guess he went to –
Sometimes
option number two after that.
You've got to wet your whistle, then you'll go with the rest of them. Yeah. So now we appreciate the cheese donation, Dave.
I did wait. When I petted him, he jumped. I think he was asleep. So I hope I didn't get him out of a good doggy dream. Does he do that too? Because Kingsley will be, all of a sudden, he'll be asleep and he'll get into a good dream of some sort.
There's a real dilemma we have from time to time where he'll be asleep and he'll start running. Like his feet are moving.
Yeah.
And he'll bark. And I don't know if he's chasing the rabbit or if the rabbit's chasing him.
Right,
so
right,
I don't know,
right.
I don't know if I should wake him or not. But
and
knows?
It's like a sleepwalker. Are you supposed to like wake him up?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know either.
I got a man on the phone that's got all the answers, though.
I'm glad to hear it. Our man Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing so as well.
We are doing just lovely. Does the Adams family... Oh, that's kind of weird. I didn't even think about that. The Adams family.
He's never heard that one
before. Yeah, I was going to say, and that was unintentional. Do you guys have a dog or dogs?
No, we don't. I've never really been a pet person. I do have two young kids, and I think they're both kind of eager for us to get a pet. So at some point in time, maybe I'll join the ranks of the people who live in a home with an animal. But as of right now, I am not one of those
people. Well, you know, there's... You don't have to worry about boarding it when you go off to.
I was going
to
say,
you know, stuff like that.
It's very rewarding, but I do envy the folks that don't have to like make arrangements to go on a trip because it's an extra layer of what we have to do.
Yeah, it's just like having a kid.
Yeah, man,
it is.
Yeah, I do kind of notice that where people are, you know, if you go out to dinner or something like that, they got to get home, do something with the dog or whatever else. And if it were up to me, and I hate to come across this way, but I wouldn't have any interest in, like I said before. You know, having an animal living indoors, that would just seem weird to me. But my kids do like animals, my, you know, cats, dogs, everything else. So pretty soon our home is going to look like a petting zoo if I had to predict. But I guess I'll try to hold off on that as long as possible.
Yeah, you'll love it. You'll love it. I promise you. It ain't bad. So anyway, B.A., I know. So tell us a little bit about the Tony Grimes story. And is it over? That's my big question.
Well, I certainly would think that there is a chance that it's not over. I mean, obviously, it wasn't good news for Georgia yesterday when Grimes chose North Carolina. Not unexpected news, really, either. I mean, I think the online chatter had been kind of, you know, gravitating in that direction for a while. Grimes got a good relationship with Dre Bly, who himself was a great defensive back, who kind of comes from that Hampton Roads area in Virginia. Bly is the defensive backs coach at North Carolina now, so that helped. And the fact is, I think you guys probably noticed this as well, UNC under Mac Brown, a hire that I didn't really like when it was made. I thought he was too much of a retread. I had been out of the game too long. But they've really recruited much better since Brown came in as head coach. So this is an example, probably the biggest recruiting win they've had thus far, but an example of some of the recruiting wins that North Carolina has kind of had. Georgia, and you'll hear this theme a lot, this may be an example where Georgia's inability to get that visit, you know, right now there's a dead period in place. You're not able to host recruits on campus. And this may be an example of where that hurts Georgia, because when you're trying to close a little bit of a gap, obviously Athens does a lot to sell itself. And, you know, getting guys on campus, their face-to-face communication is always going to be the most effective communication. But my guess is that Georgia will leave a candle in the window for Grimes. And if the world ever kind of returns back to normal to the point where you can start hosting recruits and things like that again, then I think North Carolina knows they're going to still have to try to hold off Georgia before it's all said and done.
You used a word on your podcast, I think it was yesterday, leading up to the announcement, is it's a logjam of talent. And I like the way you put that, because that is what Georgia deals with in a lot of positions. Of course, you'll go through phases where you're the hot school, everybody wants to come, but there will be years where the depth chart just may not be as appealing to certain people, and this may be one of those cases.
Yeah, listen, I'll make it very clear that I believe that Grimes is a competitor, and I believe he wants to compete, and I think that he would potentially like the idea of measuring himself against the best, either on a practice field at Georgia every single day or in the rigorous SEC schedule you'd have to play. However, that said, it is always going to be a compelling case if you can say, if you come here, everything will be just a little bit easier. Path to early playing time easier, competition you face on Saturday easier, the path towards greatness is going to be easier. Georgia's got to deal with that and, you know, could continue to recruit itself as kind of a name brand, you know, source of validation, because you come here, you do what's hard, and you thrive in that environment. Georgia's knowing that it's got to sell itself in that regard with other programs who can tout the fact that if you come here, things may just be a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's funny how that can work against you or it can work for you. Mm-hmm. And I guess it all depends on what side you're on.
Yeah, I think it just boils down to the fact that recruiting is just not very easy, no matter, you know, what you're talking about. If you're a program trying to build itself up, convincing players not to go to a big power like an Alabama or Ohio State, that's not easy. The closer you become to being one of those big powers, convincing kids not to go be the man, so to speak, at a program that's a little farther down the trough from you, that's not easy there as well. I mean, you know, today Dallas Turner is going to make his choice, or he's, you know, getting ready to make his choice. He's going to probably choose Alabama. That's a pass rusher out of Florida. Certainly he has touted the championships and things like that Alabama has won. Guys, it's put in the NFL as a reason why he wants to go there. So I think that what you see for Georgia is it's kind of at the top right now in terms of the recruiting success it's had. I think in order to stay there, you have to maximize the talent potential of the players you're bringing in, and you've got to win some of those championships on your own too, because that's how you convince certain players not to go to a place where the promise of early playing time is just, you know, so much more prevalent. Mm-hmm.
There's that herd mentality too, and I mean, Kirby can sell it, Saban can sell it, of the best players want to play with the other best players. So you get a lot of that as well.
I've always sort of thought that that was kind of something that was ushered in by the LeBron James stuff with the Miami Heat when he first went there. You know, it used to be that maybe you kind of validate yourself as a great player in a sport a different way. But with the LeBron James thing, all of a sudden, you know, the other great players around you became validation seemingly of your own greatness. I mean, he and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh on the same team together. And I do think, after that happened in the NBA, I think you saw some more of that in college football where, you know, remember back in the 2017 class, the phrase was savages want to play with savages. You know, that idea kind of great players want to be around other great players. And so that is something that George has used to his advantage, but it's not necessarily the thing that everyone's going to want.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
BA, the recruiting carousel never ends. Today, I guess later on this afternoon, Dallas Turner will be making his decision. He'll have some hats on the table, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, amongst a couple of others. But I'll be honest, there's no real indication that Georgia's going to get a commit today as well. Is that thought to be maybe an Alabama lean?
Yeah, I mean, he flat out told Jeff Centella, our recruiting insider, about a month or so ago, that Alabama was his leader. So I'll be surprised if he picks anyone other than Alabama when he makes his announcement. Now, I also think, much like Tony Grimes, this may be an example where, you know, visits can change all this, that, you know, Georgia would still have a chance to maybe get back involved here. But, you know, he does see a certain prestige factor in place with Alabama, at least based on the words that he used a few weeks ago. And I'm going to presume that that's still representative of his feelings. But I'd be very surprised if Turner does not pick Alabama today, just on the basis of what he said in the past.
Nothing wrong with that. We'll move on. I trust Kirby in the process, BA. I've learned that over the years that I think by the time all is said and done that we'll be in a pretty good spot. Speaking of that real quick, I do want to move on from recruiting, but Tennessee, Dave and I kind of made some jokes this morning. They no longer sit at that number two spot. They dropped a couple with that Tony Grimes commitment. So are we starting to see what I think we all kind of know, that, hey, Tennessee, you've already got a full ship there and you can only go down in that ranking from here on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was always going to be the likelihood that gravity became a little bit of an issue for the Tennessee recruiting class as it sort of moved back toward the earth at a certain point in time. Listen, I've given Jeremy Pruitt credit for this. Back during the coronavirus lockdown, I'm talking about the height of the coronavirus lockdown when there was very little going on, Pruitt, I believe, found a way to manipulate the news cycle to his benefit. Mm-hmm. Tennessee got a lot of attention, and I think it all kind of worked out. Now, the one thing that there's kind of a double-edged sword on is, once guys start leaving your program, or once you decide that you might like a recruit better than a certain guy you've got committed, because you've got so much attention during the coronavirus lockdown, you will also then get attention on the negative side once things start to change. I mean, listen, I thought that Tennessee had earned some real commitments, some of the commitments that I certainly gave Pruitt credit for, but I never was of the belief that this was going to be a top five class. It was all said and done. I always knew that once some of the programs that had very few commits started moving up, there was no place for Tennessee to go but down at that point in time. And honestly, I think what Tennessee's got to protect against is a little bit of drama. You know, like Kamar Wilcoxon, who recently decommitted, the defensive back who went back to Florida, committed to the Gators for a third time, which is kind of a strange recruiting story in of itself. There's been a little bit of weirdness online with Terrence Lewis, who's probably the highest-rated commit that Tennessee has on the board. So, yeah, I think that what Pruitt and the Tennessee staff may find itself doing now for the next little bit is kind of playing defense against drama as they try to settle in and try to figure out, okay, who are the recruits that we really want? Who are the recruits that we can really get? I'll be surprised if it's not a top 10 class, but I don't believe this is, I've never felt this was destined to be a top 5 class. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one of those things too, where it's going to be a very good class. It's just that, how do you rank in the conference? If you're number 10 in the nation, but you're number 5 or 6 in the SEC, we saw Georgia go through that a lot. And it's, you know, you put together good classes, but at the same time, you know, how are you running with the, you know, the other teams that you play against? And that's where you'll ultimately, I guess, be, you know, judged on what kind of recruiting class you have.
Yeah, because the league itself is so deep, it's hard to have anything other than incremental improvement. You know, we saw this at Georgia, once again, to go back and reference the 2017 class. At the time, that's probably the best recruiting class I think that Georgia had ever had. And yet, it didn't dramatically change the way Georgia would have compared itself to an Alabama. Really, I don't even know that Georgia had to go head-to-head to win many of those battles against Alabama to put a number three class together, because for the most part, Alabama had already kind of gotten who it wanted, at least for the most part. I mean, you can put together a class that would rank historically among the best in program history, and you're not necessarily changing the balance of the SEC all that much, because in order to do that, you not only have to recruit guys that are good, but you've got to take players away from some of the other SEC programs. Now, in fairness to Tennessee, they're probably still a player a little bit for Smile Mondon, maybe. You know, that's an example of Mondon was supposed to commit at some point in time during June. That obviously did not happen. If a guy like that were to slip away from Georgia, something like that, if he were to land in a place like Tennessee, I don't know that that's, you know, even, you know, a likely possibility. But that's an example of how you could change the balance a little bit. Not just getting a good player, but getting a good player that one of your big SEC rivals truly wanted.
BA, this time of year, June, July, I guess it's July 1st now, but those of us fortunate enough to talk about college football in Georgia and make a paycheck for it, we start talking about who could be the breakout player of the upcoming season. You had a good conversation about Jermaine Johnson this week, and he's someone I bring up often. And he said something along the lines of, he's now in better shape than he's ever been. I'm starting to get these visions, B.A., of he, Nolan Smith, and Azeez Ojulari maybe bringing the sack back into the defensive game plan for the Dogs.
Boy, you hope that's the case, because obviously that's the best version of Georgia. When you play against great offenses, a way to neutralize a great offense is going to get a lot of explosive plays, to have some negative plays of your own, and that's what sacks are able to do. And I think that Jermaine Johnson's really interesting, because if you compare him to Azeez Ojulari, we probably saw more from Ojulari last year than we saw from Johnson, you know, better numbers overall. You know, Nolan Smith, they came in together, he and Jermaine Johnson do, but because Nolan was very outspoken, nation's number one high school recruit, he's just going to naturally get more attention than Jermaine Johnson. So Johnson's this very robust talent, and yet, to a degree, flies under the radar in comparison to some of the other guys on the roster. And yet, when you really think about, hey, you know, who should you make sure you're really giving full credit to, full attention to, for the possibility of what he might be able to do this year, Johnson, I think, is one of those guys. He has the look of what the NFL draft may one day be looking for here, and you know, did have 2.5 sacks a year ago, as you said, on social media. Mm-hmm. He's talked about being in the best shape he's been in. That's certainly good news, and we'll take him at his word that's true for a moment. I think all of that sort of adds to a possibility that this could be a very interesting year for Jermaine Johnson, and one in which he kind of carves out his own identity, not just in tandem with Nolan Smith, who he was always sort of mentioned with because they came in at the same time, but really his own unique, if you'll pardon the phrase, brand of what he brings to Georgia football.
B.A., I don't know if you saw it or not, but yesterday Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, not the University of Tennessee, but the state of Tennessee for its high school football season, girls soccer also, will not start on time. That is a state that's next to us, and it's getting closer and closer. How much does that worry you as far as how that's going to affect football altogether? That this might be the first of, you know, like the dominoes.
It worries me a little bit. I won't lie to that. I mean, listen, I'm not smart enough to say what should happen or even really predict what will happen. I guess one of the things that I would hope is that we're looking at the full breadth of the situation. I'll give you an example of this. I think it's the American Society of Pediatrics, whatever, like the main organization for pediatricians. They've come out within the last couple of days and said that they think that planning for upcoming school years should include elementary school kids being in the classroom for the upcoming year. They think it would be detrimental for these kids not to be in the classroom. Now, they have some, you know, things they think need to be done so, you know, safety can be maintained, everything else, but they think it should, I'm going to paraphrase the statement that the Academy used, they think it should start, you know, all planning should start with the idea that that school-age kids need to be in school. My point on this is not to say that's the same thing as college football, because football players, a little bit older, living together, more likely to spread the disease back and forth, I think, than young children are. And maybe you could say the high school kids that you referenced, a little bit different there as well. But there's this, apparently on the basis of this whole line of thought within the scientific community that we don't seem to hear from as much. You know, I think a lot of people look at high school football coaches or college football coaches and say, well, all they care about is football. They're not concerned for their players. They just want to get the game back on because of the fact that the game obviously has huge financial implications for the athletic departments at the high school and the college level. But would we say the same thing about pediatricians who want elementary school kids to be back in school? Would we say they don't care about school-age children or the parents? And listen, we've had to kind of make our voice known on this in the county where we live. Do we want our kids in school? Do we want them continuing online learning? My wife and I both said we want our kids back in school. Would someone say we don't care about our kids because we did that? My point here is, and sorry for being long-winded, I just think we've gotten way too hyperbolic in this discussion. I don't know what's right, and I don't know what's good, but admittedly, I'm very concerned when I hear, you know, the state of Tennessee considering postponing, you know, slowing down, whatever the phrase you want to use, because I don't think every viewpoint, I'm talking about from, you know, credible voices, I don't think every viewpoint's given full consideration for whatever reason.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, it's with what you originally said, though, we don't know. It's hard, you know, we're not we're not experts. You've got stuff from the medical community as far as pediatricians and stuff, but something that's 2 weeks from now may feel like it's 2 years from now. We just don't know at this point. But
that's right.
But, you know, it just, when you see a state that borders our state that's already saying, hey, we're not going to start on time, you start wondering where things are going to head. And we've tried to stay positive with this, but, you know, it's something we don't know of right now. And I'll just,
well, it's definitely a hot topic and a hot conversation right now. It'd be weird to completely ignore it. I'm like you. I want to be positive, and I want to, you know, celebrate the parts of football that we love. But this is obviously a conversation that's out there. And I'll just say one more thing on this topic. Let's don't even think about college prospects at the high school football level. Let's just think about people who play football because that's what they love. And once their high school career is done, they'll move on to something else in their life. if you take football away from those people, and I'm going to just speak broadly for a moment, if you take football away from those young guys who want that, I think there will be some detrimental outcomes for some of those people that, you know, you have to have the full consideration on both sides of this. Yes, there's a risk of a virus, and you got to take that seriously, and, you know, I guess trust, you know, whatever the data tells you on that. But conversely, you know, football is one of those things that keeps people focused in school and it keeps people out of trouble and keeps everything like this. You take football away from people, and there will be some detrimental outcomes from some of the people that you take it away from.
All right, BA, always enjoy our Wednesday chats with you, and look forward to Dog Nation Daily today. Thanks so much, my man.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Really appreciate that.
All right, Brandon Thanks, Adams. Man. He's the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.